Hello, everyone. I am Aaliyah DeLong. I am a graduate research assistant at the University of Florida. I work with Dr. Mickey Swisher in the Department of Family, Youth, and Community Sciences, and with Dr. Carlene Chase in Horticultural Sciences. And today I'm going to talk about the co-creation of knowledge and how we can collaborate among different disciplines to create more resilient agricultural systems. And so my presentation today is going to be kind of a step off of what the rest of the presentations are in this session. So bear with me as I get a little abstract. So in my presentation, I am going to tell you a little bit about the context of the study that this takes place in, which is sustainable organic strawberry production systems. I'm going to tell you why we need social science in biological sciences. I'm going to tell you about the methodology that we developed at the University of Florida called expert elicitation for research design. And then I'm going to show you the different results that we got over 4 years and how we can use that moving forward. And so just to acknowledge USDA NIFA, who is funding this research. So this is the University of Florida team. We have faculty members from all over the university in horticultural sciences, entomology, food and resource economics, as well as family, youth, and community sciences. We also collaborate with two other institutions. And so one of the core principles of our research is to be multidisciplinary. And so on the whole, just to take a look at the project on the whole, this is what we are trying to accomplish. But we won't go into this in detail. So why do we need social science in biological research? Essentially, the world is changing rapidly. We know this. The economy is growing globally. This means more trade of food and fiber. And with that comes a global exchange of pests and diseases. So as the world is changing rapidly, we also need biological research to change rapidly to meet this pace. We are seeing an increase in unpredictable weather events, as well as labor shortages in the agricultural sector, which all could attribute to this rapid pace of global change. And so one way we can accelerate the pace of biological research is through the methodology we propose in this presentation. So a little bit of context for the project. The research takes place in Florida, and we're looking at organic strawberry production systems, specifically looking at three different cover crops, as well as several different strawberry cultivars, which I'll get to. So the cover crops we looked at are sun hemp, hairy indigo, a four-way leguminous mix, and then we also had a weedy control. And the presentation after me will tell you about this in much more detail. And so we also, across the years in this project, have looked at six different strawberry cultivars, a lot of them out of the University of Florida, some older varieties, and some newer ones. And so what we're doing with expert elicitation for research design is incorporating stakeholders at every step of the research process. So typically what this will look like is having an advisory council. So we invite organic strawberry industry members to give us their judgment about our research. So it's not just asking for input and incorporating that along the way, but we want to work with stakeholders so that they're actually helping us develop the research. Another way that we do that is with on-station research assessments, where we invite growers and service providers to actually look at our plots in the field and tell us what they think about it. Because ultimately, if we want our research to be adopted by farmers, we need to know what they think of our treatments. And then another component is on farm trials, where we invite local growers to select the aspects of our research that they find most interesting or useful to them, and to test those treatments in their own field under their own management regime. So these are the different kinds of results that we would get from expert elicitation. So we get feedback like, this strawberry variety festival is a hardy berry, but consumers don't like it because it's seedy. So in field trials, festival performs really well, but you have to talk to the growers who know that they can't rely on festival as their only strawberry variety because consumers don't like it. One thing that we've noticed, however, is that growers will use festival as insurance, because if something happens and they get a pest or disease infestation, they know that festival is resilient and that they will be able to take something to market. So it's these kinds of nuances that we get from expert elicitation for research design. We also get feedback from the different stakeholders about where we should go for future research. So obviously, we can only look at a limited number of variables at once. However, we can always incorporate this feedback into future projects. And these examples will be specific to strawberry production in the Southeast, but we're also seeing more infestation of seed bug in strawberry, which is new and something that we don't have a lot of information about yet. And this is something that farmers are telling us that they really want to know how they can manage this. And so that's how we can use what they identify as priorities to focus on in our research grants and proposals moving forward. So these are just another few results. And as we just saw, it's difficult to recommend a nutrient management regime like as on the whole. And this is something that growers really want. So we know that this is at the forefront of researchers and farmers' minds. And this is something that should be treated as a priority moving forward in different projects. So for the sake of time, I'm just going to move on to show a little bit of how we've incorporated this expert elicitation to change our research design. So as you can see, over three different seasons and potentially moving forward, we've received feedback about things that we've added to our research design as well as things that we've eliminated. So for example, high tunnels. We know that growing strawberries in high tunnels is something that farmers like, but they can't afford necessarily. And so that is something that we were able to eliminate. And then we don't have to invest time and money into researching something that is not going to be useful or interesting to farmers. We also get feedback about the different varieties specifically. Like I already had an example about Strawberry Festival. And then we also have Florida Beauty, which is a newer cultivar, and we're not really sure how it performs in organic systems. So we're able to invite growers to look at our plants in the field and grow them on their fields as well to tell us that it's really not doing great, just to be honest. And so in the future, things that we're not currently investigating that we could be that are interesting to farmers are stuff like low tunnels, alternatives to plastic mulch, especially in organic systems. These kind of like biological and cultural methods are very interesting to the growers and something that we can treat as a priority moving forward. So another thing that came out of the expert elicitation was the idea of a cover crop mix. So previously we had been looking at cover crop monocultures, so just sun hemp or just hairy indigo. But a lot of times sun hemp is expensive. And so farmers gave us the idea. They were like, what if you had a cover crop mix that had sun hemp in it, but it also had other legumes? Would it perform the same as just sun hemp alone? And so that is an example of an element of research design that came directly from the growers. And this is what we mean when we say involving growers every step of the way in the research, because they are helping us develop the ideas. And then, as experts in biological science, the team members on this project are able to incorporate that using their expertise. So it's this is kind of, think of it as like a diamond. At the top, we have our biological research design, and it kind of comes out as we use all of the advisory council research assessments and on-farm trials to get an idea of what ideas are out there. And then we are able to funnel that using all of the expertise to identify priorities for future research. So I'm going to go ahead and stop there with 3 minutes left to take any questions. Thank you. Yes.
How did you solicit this information? Was this surveys or was this a focus group? How did you derive these results?
So for advisory councils and research assessments, we kind of have established relationships. Oh, thanks, Carlene. So the question is, how do we elicit this information? And so for advisory councils, like I said, so we invite people that we know and have worked with in the past who are industry members to participate in our councils. So it's typically small groups of people with detailed feedback. So it'll be like 6 to 8 people, and we have facilitated discussions to prioritize consensus. In that way, we're able to filter out ideas that are just one-offs. And if our participants can come to a consensus, then we know that this is an idea that is a priority to all of them. Over here is the question.
Pick up on that again. Collaborating with social scientists through the years has also been very informative and productive for me. And I've become particularly interested in the process of coding that input that is obtained through the focus groups and the surveys, what have you. Could you just give us a glimpse into what challenges you faced in collating all that input and keeping true to it while at the same time establishing?
Right. So the question is, how do we manage collating all of the different information and staying true to that information while also understanding that it is a lot of information to incorporate? And that's a good question. And a lot of times that's why we kind of defer to the expertise of the biological scientists, because they're going to be able to say, like, this is feasible in our research and this is not. Because at the end of the day, we can only investigate certain variables. So just because something is a good idea doesn't mean it's feasible in our research. And so we just have to delineate that when we're reporting these results. Like, this might be a priority, but we're not able to investigate at this time, but we still want to put this information out there so that other researchers know that. So if it's feasible for them, then they have that information. Okay. I am out of time. Thank you.